Praise the Lord, everybody. And we're happy to pause for you, a Block Line, coming with us and bringing millions of people who are listening by way of this blog talk. And we just thank God for you. We want to just, first of all, go to God in prayer because he answers prayer and he hears our prayers and thank you for it. Heavenly Father, wow. Such a great, 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 great privilege to come before you. Oh, God, I know that you have the 24 elders there. Oh, Jesus is on your right hand. And I know that angels and seraphims and all, they're flying and praising you. Who would want to praise you? You're so good to your people. You make a way out of no way. When there is no way, you make a way through it. And you heal us when we're sick, and you encourage us when we're down. You give blessings to us and help us and supply all of our needs.
Yes, Lord.
And then you're there when things don't go right. You're there to encourage us. And when people don't see that we need encouraging you, you're there, God. In the midnight hour. So we just love you and appreciate you and glory in you. You're real. And we just thank you. We want to just remember those who have come to suffer with us. They shall reign with us. You said that, Jesus, those who suffer with you shall reign with you. We want to thank you for these who have been suffering with us. And God, let them reign. I looked up in your word, God, and says that you are not an unrighteous God to forget those who have labored in your vineyard. God, you remember those who have been saved for years. You remember my mother who has been saved probably 65, 70 years, laboring in your vineyard. And I read in Romans 2:11 that you're not a respecter of persons. And you will reign on the just as well as the unjust. And you remember people when they have really labored for you. There is a great reward for those who have labored for you. Some people have been invested in you all their lives. And God, you say that you have not forgotten them. And the investment is safe, more safe than the bank you brought, more safe than Bank of America, and more safe than Wells Fargo, more safe than any money is anywhere. You have invested for us, God, and you take care of your loved ones. Yeah, God, you're not like the enemy who people serve him all their lives, and then all of a sudden, he dumps them like a cold-hearted person. But you stay there, constant for your people. Now, bless these folk who have gotten up for you to give you glory. Would you remember them? Oh, yes, you will. You're not unrighteous to forget those who labor for you. So remember them in Jesus' name. Help their children, too. God, get them out of trouble. Help them in Jesus' name. Reign with them, God, I pray. They reign with you. I pray that you lift every heavy burden, lighten every heavy load. Bless these folks phenomenally in the name of Jesus. We have not, God, we ask not. I'm not asking you to just bless them. I'm asking you to bless them phenomenally. In the name of Jesus. And we'll give you the praise and the glory shall be thine. Thank you for hearing my prayer. I'm so honored that you would allow me to be heard by you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And then I ask, Master Lord, that you remember me, if you would, and help me to bring this word that you've given us so deep. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Good morning to all of you on the prayer line. Are y'all awake this morning? If you're so, let's speak to each other. Amen. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. And for getting down and for where you're going. Amen. Amen. Want to speak to the Lord because He is real. And I'm going to ask you all, if y'all would like, got your lines open, listen to instructions and shit. Don't open two lines at the same time. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm going to talk about some of that this morning. Amen. So let's speak to the Lord. Good morning, Lord. God bless you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Good and so kind. Amen. A lot of y'all didn't even speak to the Lord. Don't do that. That's not good. Y'all think I'm tough on you, but think about that. If you really have a love for God and folks that you labor with all night long to keep you alive, some of y'all, and you're breathing and your health and strength, let you breathe over 1,000 times, and you didn't even know you were in the world, but He's the one who watched over you. And then you so, you won't even speak to Him? Something wrong with you. Come on, open your mouth and say, good morning, Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, see, y'all make me rough and tough. Because it's not right. You do so many things, just thanks to God, that are not right. And you can't even recognize the devil speaking to you and keeping you from doing certain things. God would not do that. That's the enemy. I want to speak to y'all this morning. Amen. I hope you hear me. I want to speak to you about something that most of y'all would get indignant about if somebody said it. But I want to attempt to prove it to you in the Word of God. I want to talk about witchcraft in the church and witchcraft in heaven. Talk about witchcraft in the church and witchcraft in heaven. Now, I know that is a topic that most people try to stay away from because people get shaky and everything else when you talk about witchcraft. But, you know, godly wisdom is power. And you need to have godly wisdom because it increases your power to know what the enemy is trying to do to you and your son and your daughter. I'm unraveling something right now. What's been going on in your family with your son, with your daughter? Have you ever considered and maybe somebody working some witchcraft on them? I'm telling you, it's a real thing, and it's in the church, and it stimulated, it came actually from heaven. I don't want to make y'all mad, but just give me a chance to unravel this for you, amen, because it is a heavy word, and you can't, you got to get in the spirit realm, some of y'all, to understand this. It's in the church, and it was in heaven. Now, I want to read some scriptures to you. Do I have a good reader on the line? I might do it that way. Amen. Anybody? Well, I'll read it. All right. I've got the King James Bible. I'm not trying to, you know, get y'all on the shout and everything. I just want to give you some godly wisdom here that the Holy Ghost gave to me. I want to go to Revelation. Well, let me go here to Jeremiah first of all, 3:31. Can you go get your Bible, everybody? I'll give you a moment to get your Bible. Go get your Bible. You ought to have one close to you. You'll thank God. Come on, get your Bible. Father, this stuff gets a little heavy here, not by me, but by the Holy Ghost. He's so deep. Oh, my God. And he will reveal things to you that you've never seen. I don't just know that Daniel says that he reserves certain things for the last day that he reveals. So I need to get your Bibles, okay? Give you a moment to get them. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh, the blood of Jesus. I'm waiting on them to get the Bible. Oh, 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 the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God it must not such a long. Thank you, Jesus. The sanctified blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God, the sanctified blood of Jesus. Reveal it, Lord, reveal it. Oh, the sanctified blood of Jesus. Thank God it must not suffer such a long. Listen, I want you to look here in Jeremiah 3 and 31. First of all, I'm going to read a few scriptures to you. 3:31. Witchcraft in the church and witchcraft in heaven. Now, don't think I'm being out of order here this morning, but it really, really is in the church and heaven.
Chief, there has to be another scripture, Jeremiah 3:31. It only
goes. No, I see it right there. Let me see here. Let me try it the other way. I just looked at it. Let's see here. 31 and 3. There he is. Go to Jeremiah 31 and 3. Amen. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And then it says this, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yeah, that's in Jeremiah 31 and 3. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yeah. One of the things I'm doing now is just anytime I read a scripture, the verbs jump out at me. Yeah. Drawn here. It's an action word. Draw in your mind. Draw loving kindness. See, you have to understand that modern day witchcraft nowadays, and even the witchcraft of the old days, the devil knows the Bible as good or better than most of us. And the modern day witchcraft, they don't really have hats with sharp peaks on them, like black hats sticking up. They don't do that kind of stuff. They don't really use incantation, whatever you call them, those spells are cast. But they have read the scripture, and they know the scripture that with loving kindness have I drawn thee. They draw you with loving kindness. And the enemy seeks to draw the minds of the people. Look in the church. And people go to the dentist's office, and he say, open their mouth, open your mouth. And they open it as wide as they can, wider. And he looks all up in your mouth. Your mouth is personal. When he looks all up in your mouth and you just got your mouth open. And then you go to the doctor and he'll say, I got to do this, I got to do that. Turn over take off all your clothes. And here you go, taking off all your clothes. You ain't never been to him before. You ain't never met the man. You got all your clothes on all your clothes off. See, and then you go to church and the preacher says, lift your hands and give God praise. And you fold your arms and won't even pray. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. See, there is a mind control in the church house. You will go and like that hat and buy it in an instant. And you will see that dress you want and put it in layaway if they let you and get that dress. But when it comes to giving God his money, his tithe, you can't add then, but you can add when somebody's trying to cheat you out of 25 cents. Yeah. For example, here you go buying the Powerball, and it's $1 billion. And if it's $1 billion, your addition says, oh, well, I owe the church $100,000. You can't add then. But you can add what $1 billion is if it comes to your house into your bank account. But you have to understand that $1 billion is $1,000 million. And 10% of 1,000 is 100. So you owe the church, if you win that, you owe the church $100 million. Mm-hmm. But see, the enemy tries to control your mind and try to get you off. Doesn't want you to win. He doesn't want you to give the money, the tithe to the church. There's a control of the minds of the people that the enemy is trying to bring into the church. It's something that a person can you have to tell them to do something in the church 10 or 15 times before they can get it, but they can get it the first time on their job. Here's the way you do it. All right, I got it. You know, that's demonic forces trying to stop you in the church. You got to tell them 15 times the same thing. It says to me that their God is not Jehovah. No. Their God is the God of Mammon. In other words, Mammon, the God of money. Yeah, evidently they're controlled by the money. Otherwise, why would it take one time to get it on the job when they're being paid money and 15 times to get it at church? You know, there's something wrong here in the picture. But there is witchcraft in the church, the enemy trying to control the minds of the people. As soon as you start preaching the gospel, why does their mind go straight out and start thinking about other things? And that's witchcraft, trying to control the mind. The devil doesn't want them to hear. Right now, as I'm preaching this, just before, you know, when I got started, the enemy tried to get your mind on something else. That's witchcraft. He doesn't want you to be controlled by the word of God. He wants you to be controlled by him. And the way I'm going to really prove this to you this morning, and even the Lord showed me that the enemy was trying to attack me right out. I knew that the scripture I needed was Jeremiah 31 and 3, but he had me going to Jeremiah 3:31, which there is no 31. But I want to get this for you. I want to show you the historicity of Satan, because you see, understand, if you understand the history of the devil and use that in your mind to know what Satan came from and what he's trying to do, then you'll have a better understanding of even the word of your life and everything else. I'm going to just read this for you in Revelation, the 12th chapter. All right? It says here, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now, let me say it to you. Revelation is a book that is symbolical. It doesn't sometimes come straight out to say things the way you would basically understand them, or I would understand them. But it says things in a symbolical way, and you have to do background many times to understand revelations. You have to have some Bible knowledge to understand it. But you have to have a close connection with the Holy Ghost to really get real understanding of it. But here, let me try to work through this a little bit. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. It was a woman. It says, a woman clothed with the sun. Now, while you read Revelation, you have to think about, who is this talking about? And many times it will come later on in the same text and give you the answer to what it's trying to tell you. Okay, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Who is it talking about? A woman, all right? It's a woman now, clothed with the sun, okay? In other words, clothed with the sun, in other words, it's not, this woman has control over the sun and the moon under her feet. In other words, this woman has control over the sun and moon and up on her head. Well, either she has control or something, a part of her has control. A crown of 12 stars is on her head. Now watch this. And she being with a child. Now, this is a woman with a child. So either she's got the power or the child inside of her has the power and he has control over the sun and the moon. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth. She's getting ready to give birth. Help me, Holy Ghost. And pain to be delivered. Well, women have pain when they give birth. But she's giving a birth in this earth, you know, and you go back to Genesis and find out why she's giving pain, birth and pain. But this woman clothed with the sun and the moon, all right, under her feet. She controls, or this birth controls the sun and the moon. Up on her head, a crown of 12 stars. And then it says, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. To me, that's talk about Mary with the Christ child. Who has the sun and moon under their feet? It would have to be Jesus, the Christ child. And there appeared another one wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Now, who is that talking about? I believe it's talking about the devil. Let's see. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. How it's going to control things. And 7 crowns upon his head. Then it says, and his tail grew. Now, here's the key that lets me know it's talking about Satan, because we knew about him, how he influenced one-third of the heavenly host. The fourth verse says, and his tail grew the third part of the stars of heaven. My God. The stars of heaven, the heavenly host. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. So the dragon here is Satan, standing before the woman, which is Mary, I believe. Which was ready to be delivered. How do you know it was Mary? For to devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, we know that in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 2 and 12 real quickly here. Matthew 2 and 12 says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's talk about Mary and Joseph. And Herod had been warned by the three wise men. And these wise men were told by Herod, when you find that child, come back and let me know. I don't have time to read all that to you, but it's in Matthew 2 and around the 6th verse to the 15th to 20th verse. And so Herod was trying to kill the baby. Y'all know that. Y'all are Bible scholars. He's trying to kill Jesus. So when it's talking about that this power was trying, as soon as the baby was born, he was going to try to devour the baby, I believe it's talking here about Herod in there. Mm-hmm. Another, let me go to the fourth verse. And his tale, let me see, going back about Herod. Yeah, the birth, travailing birth, and pain to be delivered. Uh-huh, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon having seven heads and horns, the fourth verse, and his tail drew a right, and fifth verse, and she brought forth a man child. So it's in the fourth verse here, Talia. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The devil was waiting. And he was using Herod here. If you read the 12th chapter, the second chapter of Matthew, he was waiting to devour the child because he had been warned that a king was going to be born, and he was scared it was going to take over his kingdom. So he issued out an edict that we got to kill every child from 2 years old on down, trying to kill Jesus. All right, let me read this to you. Go to the fifth verse. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up under God and to his throne. See, that's why Herod was trying to kill Jesus, because he knew that he was going to rule the nations with the rod of iron. That means he was going to take Herod's job, and he was going to become the king. And the woman, this is verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Now, we know right here is more of a key here to tell us that it was Jesus that they were trying to protect, because we read in the second chapter of Matthew that Mary and Joseph were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. Mm-hmm. They returned. Now, that's the three wise men. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. I'm going to get to where I'm going in just a moment here. Just pray for me. All right. Now, they warned Mary and Joseph, don't stay here, because if you do, terrible things are going to happen to Jesus, and the enemy is going to try to do certain things to Jesus. So they left, and they went out of Egypt into the wilderness. Yeah. And what does it say here? And nothing. You're in Revelation, the sixth chapter. And the woman fled into the wilderness. See, it's right there. See, they fled into the wilderness to protect Jesus. Now, they were there 1,260 days. That's about the time that Herod lived. Yeah. We read in the text in the second chapter of Matthew that as long as Herod was alive, they stayed away from there. They stayed in the wilderness. But when Herod died, they returned. It was about 3 years before he died. Now watch this in the seventh verse. And there was a war. There was war in heaven. Ask yourself right away, why would there be a war in heaven, the place that we want to go? There was a war in heaven. Michael, who is Michael? It says here, Michael. Michael is a warring angel, and his angels fought against the dragon. Who is the dragon? The devil. And the dragon fought, and his angels fought. They fought. Michael and the angels of heaven were sent by God to fight those demonic forces. Mm-hmm. Watch this. And prevailed not. They didn't win the battle. The angels of God won. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. In other words, there was no place for them in heaven. They had found a fight in heaven. They were kicked out of heaven. Now, let me ask you this question before I lose the other folk here. Let me ask you this. What would influence one-third of the heavenly host to follow Satan? I present to you that the enemy had to control their minds to get them to leave the best place in all of creation. The enemy had to control their minds in order for them to leave heaven. And how did he do it? Witchcraft. What is witchcraft? The demonic forces, evil forces trying to control your mind. Get you to leave God, to get you to stop praising God, because he hates praise unto God, to get you to believe that he is the mighty one, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, and rather than God, it's evil forces trying to control your mind. How would he get one third of the heavenly host? And let's just do it. I don't know what's in heaven at that time or now. But let's say if that was 100,000 heavenly bodies in heaven, and we don't know. But one third of 100,000 is 33,000 heavenly bodies. He convinced 33,000 heavenly bodies to stop worshiping God and to follow him. And they were kicked out of heaven. Verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael let the angels to fight against it. Now watch this. And prevailed not, neither was a place found. They were kicked out. Verse 9, this is the 12th chapter of Revelation. And the great dragon, who is that? The devil, was cast out. That old serpent. And it's going to, I told you, the Bible will tell you many times the interpretation if you keep reading. Who is it talking about? And the great dragon, this is verse 9, cast out that old serpent, who? Called the devil. It reveals it to you right there. That is the devil the word is talking about. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. See, that's what he's trying to do right now. Deceive the whole world. People going crazy, being controlled by Satan, doing everything. Mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, just controlling, just running folk crazy, killing their babies and everything else. He was cast out into the earth. I'm reading the ninth chapter, the ninth verse in the 12th chapter. And his angels were cast out with him. I'm talking about witchcraft in the church and witchcraft in heaven. Surely you can see that right there. That's the word. I'm reading the raw word of God. Okay? His angels were cast out with him. How many angels? Well, we just read a while ago. One third. His influence, his tail, his influence. He drew with loving kindness, have I drawn thee. I believe he was kind to all those angels. You think they followed him because he was mean to them? No. They followed him because he was kind to them and trying to manipulate them and trying to do everything he could to get them to pledge their allegiance to him. And he did that to one third of the heavenly host according to the word here. And his angels were cast out with him. They got cast out of heaven. Now I'm going to stop here and ask y'all some questions. See, one of the things I teach this prayer line and anybody else is how to recognize the real voice of God. And one of the ways you do it is you ask questions. Now, the word says they got cast out. Now, let's see what kind of spirit, just by your common sense, that the devil had. He was manipulative. You understand what I'm saying? He manipulated, I'm thinking two thoughts at the same time. He manipulated the heavenly beings in heaven through drawing their minds, witchcraft in heaven. And where did it stem from? I suggest to you that witchcraft stems from arrogance. If you've got a haughty spirit, if you're arrogant, if you think you so much, if you walk in the room and you've got to be the center of attention and attraction, that's arrogance. If everybody has to look to you, you got to be smarter than everybody, and that's your intentions. Be careful with that. That's arrogance. And witchcraft stems from arrogance. Just prove it to yourself. Look at what must have been the characteristics of Satan. He had to be, first of all, arrogant to be in heaven and think that he was more than God. That's arrogance. What are the characteristics of Satan? Haughty, high-mindedness. He had to be high-minded. He had to be haughty. He had to be. For him to tell people that you ought to worship me, lying to people, you ought to worship me more than worship God. That's what you ought to do. Oh, my God. And not only that, he had a spirit of jealousy. And he had to be jealous. He didn't want God to be God. And he had, my God, his spirit was that, probably gossip too. Because he had those one-third of the heavenly host gossiping. It ain't God. It's God, we got to worship the devil. He said worship him. See, he put out that rumor got all around one third of the heavenly host. There was rumors going around. I guarantee you, up in heaven, they're gossiping and talking about God behind his back. And think about what spirit did. You got to just analyze things. What spirit did the devil have in heaven in order for him to get kicked out? Yeah. Envy, strife, every type of sinful nature, the enemy had it up in heaven. And that's why he got in a war. There was a war in heaven because it wasn't going to take over heaven. No, 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 no. All that mess was not going to take over heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, verse 9. Now go to verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, I'm reading the word, go with me now. Now is come salvation, where? And strength, where? Up in heaven. I'm not talking about the earth here. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, salvation, righteousness now, and strength. Oh, the enemy was trying to weaken all of heaven and the kingdom of our God, mm-hmm, and the power of his Christ. Uh-huh. For the accuser, what's he doing all now, trying to accuse the brethren? The accuser of the brethren is cast down from heaven. He's out of heaven, which accused them before our God day and night. He didn't even let it rest. He's accusing you now. Because, you see, he was cast out of heaven. And he's down here now. And the same thing he did in heaven, what do you think he's going to do down here? He was accusing the brethren day and night. He's accusing you to God day and night. Job, come here. Job said in the book of Job that the sons of God came to God. And the devil came with them. What did he come? He came to accuse the brethren. God said, have you heard, have you looked at my servant Job? He's a righteous man. He serves you not for naught, you know. You gave him everything. Let me take it away. He'll curse you to your face. See, he's an accuser of the brother. All right, now let's go here. And the power of this Christ for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and their love, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I'm trying to read kind of like not too light here because my mother is asleep. All right. Y'all can help me if you want. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe. Now, I want you to see this. It says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. Oh, my God. Be careful. Woe. And of the sea. Yeah. For the devil is come down unto you, meaning us, having great wrath. He's mad. Huh? Why? Because he didn't win the battle up there. There was a war in heaven, and the angels won the battle, and he got cast out. He got kicked out of heaven because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's angry, trying to, a short time to work his stuff. That's why they're going crazy all the world. The devil's going crazy, just trying to work his stuff as much as he can here on earth. Oh, my God. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who is the woman? Mary with the Christ child. In other words, talking about Jesus here. You know the woman, Mary, but Jesus who came forth, which brought forth the man child. See, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. That's talking about Mary and Joseph. Okay, into the place where she is nourished for a short time. For a time, brother. Didn't say short time. For a time. And we know that God can nourish people because look at Elijah that he sent to the woman at Zarephath, and on the way he sent him to the brook Cherith. And how did he nourish him? He sent the ravens to feed Elijah. So we know that God can feed folks and nourish folks. And he said for a short time and a half a time from the the faith of the serpent. Well, we know who that's talking about, because in the third chapter of Genesis, it talked about there was a second voice that spoke, and that was the voice of the serpent saying to the woman, God didn't say that day that you eat of that fruit shall surely die. See, okay, so we know it's talking about the devil. Now, verse 15, I may have read enough here, but let me say 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Then that's symbolical there. And I think it's talking about the flood here on earth. Amen. You remember how Noah had the ship. But he was trying to control the earth at that time. He was trying to control everything about God at that time. He was trying to keep history from coming to pass and all those things. But I want to show you that there was a war in heaven. Why? I believe that the enemy was using witchcraft in heaven. How do he control the minds of the people? What is witchcraft? It's controlling, it's evil control over the minds of over your mind. And one thing in my mind, I want to take you to Numbers, the 23rd chapter. Balaam and Balak. Balak was the wicked king, was trying to get Balaam, the prophet of God, to curse the people of God. And in the 23rd chapter of Numbers, you'll find that Balaam said, I cannot curse whom God has blessed. In other words, you don't have power over me. Only God tells me what to do. I'm not going to curse God's people. God's power is stronger than yours, Balak, because the power of God is going to bless these people rather than curse them. And he kept on trying to get Balak kept on trying to get Balaam to curse the people of God. And finally, in the 23rd chapter, I'd have to find it for you, close to the latter part of the chapter, the curse was reversed on Balak. Yeah, the king tried to get God's man to curse God's people, but God reversed the curse on him. In fact, I'm a preset maybe one day next week. But I'm trying to tell you that you, the devil will try his best to control anybody. The saint of God, you're not exempt. The enemy will come after you first. Amen. And he wants you to be controlled in your mind, because my mother teaches me. She says, son, pray against the devil trying to get your mind. Pray against the devil trying to get all of my kids' minds. Pray against the devil trying to get my mind, because when he gets your mind, he tries to control your body. Don't let him get your mind. And then I'm telling you that the enemy uses witchcraft to try to control your mind. And many times it's not through those incantations, whatever. I don't know that word right now. I can't say it. But, you know, casting spells is what I'm trying. It's not through casting spells. It's basically through loving kindness have I drawn thee. He'll try to draw you and everybody around you by loving kindness. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody, something's unraveling right now that you begin to see what's going on. Because, see, it's wonderful for you to have this wisdom about the historicity of Satan right in the 12th chapter. Why? Because if you know what happened here, you know his motives, and you know what he's trying to do now. He controlled one-third of their minds up in heaven. They had to be under witchcraft. They got kicked out of heaven. It was witchcraft that he used to control their minds and get them to turn around and turn against God. And now, what do you think he's trying to use down here? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. He's trying to use witchcraft to control your mind. And I know that scares a lot of people.